to the government to perhaps take a 3 to 5 year window for the sales process you've gone through in 6 months. Is there any consideration being given to perhaps delaying Genesis?
Well, don't think so. I mean, obviously, as the vendor, we always reserve the right, subject to market conditions, to make those decisions. So, as we've said before, I think Genesis would be a 2014 float, you know, subject to market conditions. But at this point, no, we're not planning on delay further than that.
Do you think you can get more than 62,000 investors signing up for Genesis?
Don't know. It'll depend. I mean, but you know, I think the important thing to focus on here is, you know, while they are the number of direct investors, it still makes both Meridian the third largest retail stock on the New Zealand Stock Exchange, but also actually for an awful lot of people, they're actually buying a chunk of Meridian, maybe unknowingly, but through their KiwiSaver account, or certainly through the New Zealand Super Fund or ACC. So I mean, my view of the program is that it delivers cash that allows us to buy assets without having to borrow on the balance sheet. That's been important. Secondly, I think it does give alternative investments away from real estate and hopefully give depth to the stock exchange. And I think actually it provides much better oversight to those companies. So, you know, some people are going to bag the program. I actually think it's been quite successful.
So why did you reject the Treasury advice to go slower?
We just didn't believe it was necessary, and I don't think it would have made any difference. So I don't think the value of Meridian has actually changed because of the timing of the float. The value of Meridian changed because there was a view taken about whether Rio would be a long-term asset, and there were a variety of other reasons in there. But I don't think the timing would have made much difference this year, next year, or any of that.
Do you still think you'll get to that $5 billion lower part of the range?
We're pretty close. Obviously, it depends on a number of factors, you know, the value we get for Genesis in New Zealand, but also I think it's worth remembering we're not going to get there with Solid Energy.
Why do you make the point about New Zealand Superfund and ACC? Because effectively that's people, that's taxpayers essentially buying back what they'd already owned as taxpayers.
Because the Superfund, as you probably saw, I think it was then this morning in the paper saying that they're investing in PPPs in Australia. I mean, at the end of the day, one of the arguments around the mixed ownership model is we want more investment taking place in New Zealand. And this allows that to happen by us essentially being able to sell the stake on behalf of New Zealanders, but keep majority control. It allows us to then go and invest in other assets in our own right. That's money the super fund can actually invest on behalf of New Zealanders here in New Zealand, and not necessarily in energy companies in Australia.
In terms of the market conditions, what market conditions would they actually have to be in order for the sale not to go
through? Well, if we believe we were having to sell at a substantial discount to what we believed is the appropriate market price, that certainly hasn't been the case for either Meridian or Mighty River Power. The conditions have, generally speaking, been pretty good. Those companies have been valued at what the stock exchange believes they are worth, and they are the ultimate arbiters, as I've said before. You know, it's a bit like selling a house. Lots of people have a view that their house price is worth, you know, X. The market actually tells them it's worth Y. Well, that's actually the right price. That's what someone's prepared to pay for.
So at what point in that process, you know, would you decide that you couldn't get what it's worth? You know, when you get to the book bill, for instance, or would you make that decision earlier?
That can always vary. I mean, there have been IPOs where they've been pulled on the day before they were meant to float, and there's been ones that have been pulled months beforehand. Let's see, but the world economic conditions are improving, not deteriorating, so hopefully that's a good sign.
Could you go to the next election with even more state assets to yourself after the election?
Well, we'll make a call on that and give you a sense of what our program is going to be or otherwise for 2014 and beyond. But the reality is you've got very limited assets. Transpower will never be part of the program. I don't think it actually fits within it. And there are very few other assets that are actually left, but we'll need to work our way through
that. Given Air New Zealand's share price, does it make more sense to proceed with the sale down in Air New Zealand ahead of Genesis?
It's a completely different issue with Air New Zealand. It's a listed company already, and so the process is quite different, and that may or may not affect the timing we've made that decision.
When do you expect to make the decision with Air New Zealand?
That'll be subject to advice that we get. That's the appropriate time. Because it's a listed stock, it's much more sensitive, and we have to be very cautious about that information.
Would you consider a chunk of Kiwi Bank, given that there's probably a good case for them to raise some capital?
Don't think that's likely. It's more likely that we'd use the proceeds from some of the sales that we're achieving at the moment to invest in Kiwi Bank. We gave some reasonably strong commitments around Kiwi Bank, and I see us honouring those in the short term.
How committed is the government to an IPO with Genesis? There's been work done on breakup and trade sales. Do those remain options as well?
don't think that's a credible option, no. That'd be my bet.
Just getting back to the
Are
you concerned, or can you give any guarantees that the DCSB has not been involved in this sort of this widespread spying on countries like Spain, France, and Japan, as in the latest round of allegations?
Well, I'm not going to go through what we're engaged in and what we're not. All I can, because that's been a standard long-term practice of every prime minister, what I can tell you is that whatever we do is lawful, and that's really all I can
do. Do you think the GCSB was aware of the extent of the spying that we've seen from the NSA, including on foreign leaders?
Well, I don't know all of the information they exchanged and the discussions they had with their counterparts, the part of Five Eyes, so they had discussions which are at a much more granular level than I have, so I can't absolutely categorically say one way or the other. But I'm not aware of all the activities that the United States undertake.
Have you sought assurances from the DCSB that they didn't know about this, that they aren't involved in this latest?
No, and there'd be no reason for me to do so.
Are you satisfied that the Americans haven't spied on you?
Yes.
Why?
For reasons I'm not going to bother going into.
BBC experts said, and that is that all the Five Eyes members have agreed not to spy on each other. That's why New Zealand has immunity.
Well, you can draw your own speculations. I'm not going to go into it. I'm just confident in the position.
So does New Zealand, under the Five Eyes agreement, have immunity for spying on the US?
Well, again, I'm just not going to go into those details.
Have you been asked by any of our friends in the Pacific if we are instrumental in sort of mass surveillance through Waiho Point?
No.
I mean, just following on from that question, are we a part of this mass surveillance?
Well, I don't have all of the details, and I don't even bother to ask those particular questions, but I'm comfortable that any activities that GCSB have undertaken have been lawful.
Are you concerned that we are being tarred by association here with other countries around the world that are upset in America?
No, I mean, in the end, the United States, whatever activities they've undertaken, and I don't claim to know those, I read papers like others, but whether they exist or true or not, it's a completely different issue. That's a matter for them to manage their own affairs and their own relationships. It's not a matter for me.
Does it concern you that other world leaders have been spied on by the
No, it's a matter for the United States and their relationships they have with those leaders. I don't know the details of them.
In the transcript from this morning's meeting between Jonathan Coleman and Chuck Hagel, he mentioned that there's a visit by you to the to Washington planned for early next year.
Well, it's not confirmed. I mean, there's sort of a general view that it's arguable that once a term, a New Zealand Prime Minister will get to go to the White House. That's possible, will happen next year, but there are no arrangements in place and it's not established.
It also mentioned that the United States is going to take part in what it described as New Zealand's biggest ever multinational and inter-agency exercise.
I haven't seen the transcript, so I assume they're talking about military training exercises, and that's really in relation, I assume, to the fact that we're engaging more fully in terms of training exercises with the United States. That's actually a good thing. It helps our people learn and upskill them, and the exchange of those working protocols is a good thing.
So we're planning what Chuck Hagel described as our biggest ever exercise. Is that right?
I don't have those details. You have to ask Jonathan Collins' office, but I assume that's what he's referring to, the more training exercises. How they can define that, I don't know.
And do you think it's just worth going to GCSB and seeking a guarantee that we haven't been involved in this kind of spying?
No, but I'm not going to go into all those details, mate.
Why wouldn't it be?
Because I'm not going to discuss what we do and don't do. I'm comfortable with what we do as legal.
So when an international leader asks you, has New Zealand been involved in this through Five Eyes, what do you say to them?
Well, they never have, and I'll be surprised if they ever do.
Why don't you think they will?
They don't think they will.
What's your reaction to the Fonterra today?
Well, obviously it's part of a suite of reviews that are taking place. I mean, I've read the executive summary, had a brief discussion with them about it. It appears to confirm what we've known, that there's no one particular thing has driven the problems they encountered, but a series of them. We welcome the fact that it's going to drive a series of changes within the company, and that they're taking that very seriously. They've got reviews taking place in 9 months and in 18 months' time. The impression I get is the board takes the meetings rightfully so extremely seriously. But it doesn't affect the fact that we've got two ministerial inquiries undergoing.
What about the recommendation that Frontier needs to work more closely and align its practices or work on the sake of the government?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think for the most part, in fairness to Fonterra, they have a good working relationship with us. They work closely with the regulator. For the most part, the process worked reasonably well, but I think it identified there were one or two areas where there could have been improvement.
One of the criticisms in the report was that it was seen by its stakeholders, I imagine that included the government, as fortress Fonterra.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're trying to be self-critical and identify that they, as a very large organisation, sometimes are difficult for people to engage fully with, and that that's something that they want to work on. I think that's actually a healthy thing, that they've identified the fact that they need to be as open as they can about their processes and the information that they have.
What about the recommendation about better scientific resources? So the Fonterra, the government and other food product firms should be working better to make sure that there are better resources to ensure food safety. Do you accept the government needs to up its game in that?
Well, I think we'd be better to wait action until the government inquiry is completed. When we have that, we will have all the information in regard to that. We can make more informed comments.
This action event does show that there is a lack.
No, I'm not sure you can draw that conclusion yet. I mean, Fonterra chose a couple of options in terms of trying to identify the issues that were presenting themselves in their Dunland plant. Whether there are any shortfalls in testing facilities and the outcomes, look, we might have a view on that, but it would be better for us to wait.
So the report highlighted a lack of confidence between the government and Fonterra. How's that now?
No, I don't actually think that's fully right. I mean, we have complete confidence in Fonterra. I mean, they're a good organisation, and they have, you know, a large range of products. They work closely with our regulators, but they're always areas we're working more closely together.
Why would the report come back?
I don't know. It's an independent report done by, you know, Mr. Hodder and Ralph Morris at Dustin.
So you would say on that particular point that's not correct?
From my view, we've got a good working relationship.
If you want to see them respond to those recommendations, what accountability above and beyond adopting those recommendations would you like to see?
Look, I think the most important thing is that A, they're extremely thorough about all of the potential factors that went into this scare. Secondly, that, you know, from the kind of one end of the organisation to the other, they take on board and make sure that their culture is one of zero tolerance when it comes to these issues. Now, they're a food company, and they are always going to identify from time to time batches and samples that show irregular readings. That's just par for the course when you're a food company. The question is sort of what happens next, and what this identified was that when they had a lens of a torch, you know, fall into their whey product, you know, rather than dispose it, they reprocessed it. Now, that's something they've got to go and work through, whether that was the right call that was ultimately made.
But given the amount of damage control that you and the ministers had to do, is there anything you want to see Fonterra do above and beyond adopting those recommendations and then giving them the report?
Well, again, we need to finalise our inquiries to make sure that we've got, you know, everything covered off. But in the end, I mean, I actually believe that Fonterra produce a world-class product. They have very good systems and high levels of accountability. But we just got to be absolutely sure they have the gold standard in everything. That's how New Zealand is going to maintain its brand, place and position.
David Graham won't be able to appeal his convictions by the looks of it. Where does that lead you thinking on this moment?
Well, we're keen to make a decision when we can. I'm just seeking a bit of advice on that in relation to the timing of that decision, and that will depend on a few factors. But, you know, as soon as we're in a position to do so, and that's we've got approval to do that, then we'll give you a decision.
So approval to strip them of it?
No, approval to give you our take on what should happen next.
So that's half open now, that, you know,
it may not be completely open. We're just getting a bit of advice on whether, you know, whether it would be appropriate to do that prior to any appeal they make on sentencing.
Who gives you that advice?
Cabinet Office.
Thank you.
Anthony Dunn is going to deliver a speech in Auckland tonight, basically saying that National Shipping helping out your support partners that make sure that they're still around next year. What's your response to that?
I think, for the most part, we try and work constructively with our partners. I mean, in the end, it's the New Zealand public that decides who's returned to Parliament and ultimately gives a bit of a steer on the likely makeup. But we've been reasonably realistic about what we think election 2014 will look like. It's going to be led by a national government post that period of time. It's highly likely we'll need coalition partners. And for the most part, we're working pretty constructively.
So do you think that's your job as the sort of main party to maybe help out or prop up those other parties to help out your own chances next year?
Look, I think you can give some sort of direction and you can give some sort of indication, and that probably was useful in 2011 and 2008. But in the end, you know, does it have a massive influencing factor? I don't think so. I think it comes down to whether people want to vote for a particular party or not.
You've also made the case against National offering or endorsing Colin Craig in an electorate seat. Is that something you would do if you needed the Conservatives?
Well, every support partner for National will want to be the main support partner. I accept that, but that'll be also true of the way that other parties will feel.
But if the Conservatives don't look like they're going to reach that 5% threshold and you need a partner, would you offer or would you endorse them, for example, or an electorate seat to help them
overnight? Well, all those decisions haven't been made. What I have said is in 2014 and probably the earlier part of that year, we'll try and give an indication of who we can work with, who we can't, and some sort of indication of how that might play out, although it'll depend, I guess, in the fullness of time, how it goes.
What did you think of the weekend polls?
Cheerier than the Herald's poll. Look, I think overall, what we've seen in our polling has been, we saw a little bit of narrowing straight after the election of David Cunliffe as the leader of the Labour Party, and now we've seen them moving back out again. So, kind of broadly, we're somewhere between 45 and 50 on our own internal polling. All it really shows you is that the National bloc is sort of, for the most part, either equal or possibly marginally bigger than the Labour Greens bloc. And I suspect that's how it'll play out in the next 12 months, and it'll then depend on, you know, how that action shakes down and what coalition partners we can each find.
So it comes back to Peter Dunn's point of how important it is for you to pick the right ones, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's slightly different than that. I mean, I think it's going to come down to who does the country believe can take them forward for the next 3 years, deliver on the issues that matter to them with the highest degree of predictability and stability. And I actually obviously believe that's National League government. I think over the last 5 years we've proven that. I think we've delivered in the areas that actually matter to people, the economy, the law and order, health and education have been primary focuses for us, and for the most part those areas we've been improving or doing well. So we're going to go to the election campaign on our record, but we're also going to campaign on what we will want to do if we're given another 3 years. That you can spend your life worrying about coalition partners, but actually, you know, A, that's, you can't second guess the public, they'll decide what they decide, and, you know, we'll see how it all goes on the night.
But given, I mean, back to the question around the Meridian, the polls have consistently shown that a majority of people don't seem to like the partial asset sales. I mean, have you ever given any reason to reconsider that just on the basis of, you know, your likely political support?
Well, firstly, we've got Air New Zealand and Genesis to go for this parliamentary term. It's not going to be possible with myself being there. I think it's also going to be important for us to spell out what our position when it comes to mixed ownership will be for election 2014 in the next 3 years. And we'll make that call and have that conversation with the public next year. What I can say is that whether you love or hate the policy, what you've got to accept, I think, is that we've been very transparent about it. And what we've said we've done and what we said we wouldn't do, we haven't done. So I think, you know, we've got to get marks for at least having clarity and sticking to our word. And that's what we'll do in the next 3 years.
Can you reconcile back to the Manu Mori Party merger?
Very unlikely, in my view.
For what reason?
They don't like each other. I mean, at the end of the day, it might be political convenience, but they've worked together in the past and it never works, and they can't really see it working again in the future. They might have a discussion on paper, it might seem eminently logical, but they're quite different people. I mean, fundamentally, the Māori Party are about being, from what I can see, part of government and constructive and wanting to do positive things for Māori. And fundamentally, at the core of it, Hone is an activist as opposed to everyone.
Thank you.
and he's naturally suited to opposition, and they might be more naturally suited to government, but the board and board and that's a problem.
So you're not worried about any potential impact on coalition group more fighting?
What do you think of the Family Commission's move to get some measures of child poverty?
We don't believe there is one absolute measure of poverty. There are quite a number of measures that can be used. And I think if you look at the report by Dr. Wills, I mean, it basically spells out there's a lot of good things the government's been doing, from insulation through to rheumatic fever, preserving working for families, a number of other initiatives that we've undertaken. I mean, he argues there's more we can do, and I think, yeah, the law's been open, there is more we can do, but seen against the backdrop of the conditions we inherited and we've had to withstand over the last 5 years, I think we've done a lot of things to make progress in that area.
Do you think we do have a child poverty problem and that there's more the government should do?
There's certainly some children in poverty, there's no, absolutely no question about that. The government does a lot. Whether it's kind of, you know, the insulation programs right through the support we give either through the welfare system or working for families, right through the breakfast in schools. But there's always been children in New Zealand living in poverty for the last 30, 40, 50 years. It was certainly true back in 2005 when Labor were running very, very large surpluses. There were still 170,000 kids in New Zealand recorded as under the legal definition of being in poverty. So it's not a new issue.
When you met the Sultan of Brunei a few weeks ago, were you aware that he was planning to impose a Sharia penal code that involves death by stoning and amputation of limbs?
No.
Do you still think he's a nice guy?
I think he's a charming guy.
He's both charming and a nice guy, but you know, they hold a view. For one thing, you know, he's Orthodox Muslim, and that's obviously the view that he holds. It's not one I share, but their views changed recently.
Have you expressed that view through diplomatic channels? There have been some calls for British, for instance, to do so. New Zealand's done.
I can't categorically say that we have, because I didn't ask that question. I suspect our people may have, but I didn't check with.
Would you want them to?
Yes, I mean, that's certainly the view that we raise with other countries that do that, Saudi Arabia being the obvious.
Would you have raised it with him at the time if you'd known he was planning to do it?
Might have. That type of ethical question, but I might have.
What if he goes to children?
I'll give you a chance to talk to him about it. I don't really take that on board, and I suspect he might not, but you know, our views are fairly diametrically opposed to that position.
Is there any update on the Rossi MPA?
On the
Rossi MPA?
No, I don't have anything yet, sorry.
Is there going to be a shark attack in New Zealand
waters? Yeah, so what's happening is, for a start off, I mean, I'm not sure the position is completely absurd. It is illegal, currently under New Zealand law, to cut a fin off a live shark and then dump that shark back into the water. I mean, that obviously is barbaric, but also will kill the shark. What currently is the law is that you can cut a fin off a shark and export that if you kill the shark. So the government is going to go through a process of some consultation around that activity, and that consultation document is likely to be released reasonably soon, in the next month.
With the view to making it illegal to actually export the fin, or?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a number of options. You know, like all these things, sometimes, you know, these sharks are deep and they come on board, so the question is, what do you do? It's a little like a small snapper argument, but you certainly don't want to be encouraging their activity and behaviour, and I think most people find it pretty abhorrent. So I think we're consolidating. It's about a $5 million business at the moment, but we'll see how it goes.
How far away is Cabinet from making a decision to keep it back?
I saw some early paperwork on it, I mean, as in the last few weeks. It hasn't been on the Cabinet agenda yet, so I'm not exactly sure when the Minister's going to bring his recommendation to the Cabinet, but my guess would be in the next month. I might be wrong. I've just seen the heads up. I saw a bit of indication on the research that he is seeing.
Did you discuss water quality or
online
that Cabinet today?
Water quality. Yes, sort of. Not really bottom lines, but it's part of the overall discussion we're having about water quality. There's a discussion there. How are we taking fresh water? Well, it's really an extension of the work we've been doing with the people leaders groups and the NGOs.
Okay. So can we expect something on that thread?
Yeah, discussion document, I think, on where things need to be. Consultation documents.